Well, here's a question for you. What's better, new or old? Well, like I said, old. Of course, it doesn't make any sense. It depends on what we're talking about. I mean, if you have a new car, it's usually better than an old car. But if the old car is a classic, you know, collector's item, well, then the old one is better. But usually, when I ask which is better, new or old, people's first reaction is usually new. New's better. We tend to like new things, like new products and new items, new news, new gadgets, newly elected government officials, even a new pope. They have a new pope. Everybody's very excited about having a new pope. And part of the reason why everyone is so fascinated with Pope Leo is because he's new. Even when he says exactly the same thing as Pope Francis or any previous pope, even when he quotes them, it's big news because he's new. A new pope said this. You know, of course, that today is the inauguration mass of Pope Leo. For us, it will be this afternoon. You can watch it live, the formal inauguration or installation, what used to be called the coronation mass. Now it's inauguration. So it is, it's exciting, it's a cause of joy. And if you want to watch it, you'll see a very joyful celebration, and you can hear Pope Leo preaching on these very readings that we just heard. Well, today's readings speak about a lot of new things. This is especially noticeable in the reading from the mysterious book of Revelation. I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, which is pretty much everything, right? Heaven and earth is the totality of creation. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. So the old is gone, the new is here. Then he says, I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem. We know the old Jerusalem, but he's talking about something new, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride. A bride is a new spouse, a new bride, adorned for her husband. Then at the end of the reading, that second reading, he said, God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away. And those are exactly the sort of things that we want to pass away. That's what makes this world, this old world, so difficult for us. It's full of suffering. It's full of death. And so we say, fine, if all that passes away. And then at the end of that reading, it said, the one who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. All things new. There's something exciting about the idea of everything becoming new, because we like new things. But we also know from experience that newness doesn't seem to last very long. Before long, the new thing is no longer new, at least it's not new to us. Even as young children, we learn this lesson. When a child receives a new toy, he or she is overjoyed, the happiest person in the world. And that child will play with that toy for hours, sometimes for days. But before long, that toy is not new anymore. Maybe the toy breaks, maybe it gets dirty, maybe it gets lost, or maybe a new toy comes along and then the old one gets set aside. And that happens not only in childhood, it happens throughout our life. The new thing that brings us so much joy, whatever the new thing is, a new job, a new car, a new house, a new phone, a new girlfriend, or a new anything, whatever gives us that joy, eventually becomes familiar and then is no longer new to us. Now, if we reflect on that experience, which happens to us over and over again, we realize that what our heart is really longing for is not simply new things, not simply novelty. What we want is something that remains new, something that's permanently new. And we can't find anything like that on earth. No material thing, no temporal accomplishment can satisfy that deep longing. We have to look for something spiritual, something that transcends this world. Now, the atheist will tell us, sorry, there isn't anything else. The materialist will say, there isn't anything else. Once this world passes away, or once we die, that's it. There's no new heaven and new earth. There's just the former heaven and the former earth, and that's it, so make the most of it. But we who have faith know that that view of reality is far too narrow, far too limited, and it cuts us off from everything that's the most beautiful, the most wonderful. It cuts us off from the reality of love, which is not, love is not a material thing. It's a spiritual reality. So we who have faith have received the good news that in fact God makes all things new. He says it in the reading. I make all things new, including us. And this kind of newness, this kind of newness that we long for and which we even profess when we profess our faith, it can go unnoticed if we don't look a little deeper. Now, this is the season of Easter. This is the season of newness, the glorious celebration of the resurrection. The resurrection is the ultimate revelation of newness, right? I mean, when Jesus came forth alive from the tomb, when he came forth alive on the other side of death, alive never to die again, well, we were in the presence of something really new, something beyond this world, present in the world. But our joyful celebration of Easter is already a month old, right? Easter was a month ago, 4 weeks ago. This is the fifth Sunday of Easter already, and it can seem to us that the good news of Easter morning is not that new anymore. After all, nothing has really changed, even though everything has changed, but it seems to us like nothing has changed, and so we start to say, well, let's move on to something else. Let's look for something new. This is where we go wrong. No. This is where we have to be wise. Because if we leave the resurrection behind and look for something new, if we treat the resurrection as if it's something old, we're actually going backward, not forward. In order to go forward, we have to keep pressing into the newness of what God has done, the newness of what God is doing even today. The newness. So in today's gospel, if we want to look for something new, we hear Jesus speaking about something new that we can put into practice today, what he calls a new commandment. A new commandment, love one another. Now that doesn't sound so new until he describes what this love is to be like. It's to be like the love that he has for us. And so he says, as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. And that is new. And then he adds that this love is to be the characteristic mark of Christians. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So Jesus is talking about something that distinguishes his disciples from everybody else. That means he can't be talking about love in the old sense, in the ordinary sense. He's talking about something new, something that people were not doing already. Well, love is not new, of course. Love has been the fascinating topic for people of every age, of every culture throughout history, songs and poetry and art and literature, always about love. But the love like the love of Jesus, that's new. Now, when it comes to love, of course, we have to get past the old love, the old idea of love. The persistent error about love is that love is all about how we feel. That's a lot of the songs are about, how happy I am when I'm with you. Well, that's very nice. But we're not talking about that. We're not talking about love as the ultimate feel-good drug, which is what people treat it like. No, we're talking about something new. We're talking about a love that doesn't always feel good. It's sometimes painful. It's sometimes very costly. In fact, sometimes it feels terrible. True love is not based on how we or anyone else feels. It's based on what is genuinely good for the other person and the choice of that genuine good for the other person. That's love, to make that choice. If I love someone, I choose what is good for him or for her, no matter what. Even if I don't like it. Even if the person hates me because of my choice. If it's good, we choose it. That's love. Because this is how Jesus loves us. That's the new commandment that he gives us. Very often, it feels better not to love in the moment. It feels better just to let things go, or just to pretend not to notice, or just to put up with what's wrong. After all, I make trouble. Then we get used to it. But love, genuine love, will not tolerate what is going to harm the person that we love. And so we have to act, we have to speak up. Now, if we want proof of this, if we want a practical example of this, all we have to do is look at Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross is the example of love, of the new kind of love. Now, I know it's Easter season, we're not at Lent anymore, but we can't get a better display of love than the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It's even clearer to us on the cross than in the resurrection. Because in the resurrection, we're transcending this world. But on the cross, we see sacrifice in this world. And Jesus said this himself. There's no greater love. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. He chose to lay down his life, not because he felt good about it. He didn't. And not because it would make anyone else feel good. Even his closest loved ones felt terrible about it. But he gave himself in love in order to do the greatest possible good to those whom he loves. If he could think of another way to help us more, he would do that too. But he already did the greatest possible love. He revealed the greatest possible love. And the point I tried to make here is that love, that is to love one another as Jesus loves us, is love to the point of sacrifice. What Mother Teresa called loving until it hurts. This is the new commandment. This is the new thing that people don't usually accept or recognize about love. That this is what love means. It's love that's costly. This is the kind of love that makes all things new all the time and can make all things new all the time. And Jesus says this is the very way that people will be able to tell if we are his disciples, if we love one another in this way. So we have to ask ourselves, do we love one another? Do I love others? It's easy to say, yes, I love everybody. But it's not that easy to do. It's a new challenge every new day. All we have to do is think about the people in our life, the people whom we love, people who are close to us, people whom we live with, people who we work with, people who are next to us, people who annoy us, people who disagree with us. But do we love them? Do we love people who disagree with us? It's not those who we feel good about or those who make us feel good. The question is, am I choosing to do what is good for him, for her, for them? That's the new way. And it's better than the old way. That's a newness that's better than the old way. If we do that, then we are living as true disciples of Jesus Christ. And then people will be able to know, if they observe us at all, that we are his disciples. If we love like that, then his love and his life shines through us when we love as he loves us.